Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Well, hello there. I'm Gordon Smart. You're listening to the Evening Show podcast. Producer Vin is here. We're being businesslike.
Well, hello there.
Well, hello there. Do you think that should be the new welcome to all Radio X shows that we do?
That was Kasabian. Well, hello there.
Well, she was thinking of other preposterous introductions. Oh, very warm welcome to you this evening.
Ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy. I like that one. Finn, every time I mention your Radio X, you just go, ahoy hoy. Where did that come from?
It's from it's Mr. Burns, isn't it?
Is it?
He said that's how you should answer the telephone.
Ahoy hoy.
Yeah.
That is excellent, isn't it? Do you know when you had those jobs that you had a sort of specified way to pick up the phone?
Oh, right, yeah, so you say the name of the company, yeah, or whatever. I do that here sometimes. I go, hello, Radio X.
Bizarre Gordon speaking. Used to be fine. Oh, dear. Right, Finn, there's another Evening Show podcast on the cards. Wynn Butler, Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
He's he's got an unusual cadence in his speech. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, the pauses are pauses that I'm not familiar with, yes.
Yeah, my little brother used to work in Canada, and he said it's quite familiar with Canadians. They have an unusual sort of conversational style, perhaps.
Oh, there you go. But I mean, amazing stories, right?
Oh, he's a fascinating
funny
bloke.
Stories.
Great story about his worst gig, which you can enjoy in the Evening Show podcast. The Cure and Disintegration was the album, classic album of the week, which we thoroughly enjoyed going back
to. It was brilliant, that. I've forgotten how good that is.
I also didn't quite realise that the trouble Robert Smith was in at the time. You know, there was quite a lot of bad behaviour going on behind the scenes.
Well,
I forget that.
And I know that he had this reputation, but I didn't realise how dark it was.
Because he is Uncle Bobby to you now, isn't he?
That's what I'm going to call him, yeah.
Uncle Bobsky. And also, we will delve a little bit deeper into the relationship between the Killers and New Order and check out why the Killers are so heavily influenced by Manchester characters Bernard Sumner and Peter Hook. It's really good stuff. I hope you enjoy this, the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm really pleased to say that we have one of the most creative, innovative and talented musicians you will hear from on radio this evening. Wynn Butler from Arcade Fire. Wynn, are you there?
Oh, cool. There's someone talented and innovative coming on. That'll be interesting.
It makes up for the lack of talent in this room. Thanks for your patience. Now, Wynn, the last time we talked, you were in Florence in Italy. So can you just set the scene and paint a picture of where you are in the world right now?
I'm in New Orleans. Regine and I have been living here for a couple of years, and it's kind of post-Mardi Gras. The weather's warm. Probably going to go swim in my pool and get a coffee today. So it's a big, you interrupted a very important day.
Now, Wynn, last time we spoke, we discussed an incredible gig that you had played in Manchester with a really emotional cover of Joy Division. But, you know, we don't want to talk all the time about incredible performances because it's sometimes good for a lot of aspiring musicians who listen to the show to hear that great bands also have bad nights at the office as well. Can you maybe explain one of the gigs that Arcade Fire have played where things didn't quite go to plan?
I guess maybe, like, one thing that comes to mind was on the Neon Bible tour. We were mostly playing very, like, kind of punk rock energy shows, and somehow we got booked in the Montreux Jazz Festival, and we kind of know the name Montreux or whatever. It's a famous name, but we were just kind of in the mentality of playing these punk shows, and it's very, just the energy of our band, like, very rarely do I have to ask the audience to stand up. People just kind of stand up and go for it, and we started playing, and it's just like everyone's seated and, like, very relaxed. I was, like, getting more and more kind of combative with the audience and just trying to, like, get any kind of reaction, and I'm just getting nothing, like, just, like, not so rude to this audience, but also just got nothing back, and we're leaving, and there's a guy sitting on, like, a flight case next to the stage, and I kind of do a double take, and I realized that it was, like, Quincy Jones had been watching us.
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, what? Like, of all the time. And I introduced myself, and I was like, I'm really sorry you had to see that. It was, like, you know, one of the more embarrassing shows we've played. And he was like, it's cool. Like, I worked with Miles Davis, and he used to just play with his back to the audience. So I really looked at that. So I felt better about myself.
Oh, Wynn, thanks so much for sharing that story with us. A cracker. Absolutely brilliant. Now, Wynn, you've just announced some UK arena dates, and you've got a huge following over here in the UK. So looking at the Manchester show, London show, Birmingham and Glasgow, do you get a chance to really enjoy it when you come over here? Or is it the case of a flight in, off to the venue, sound check, play the gig, and then back to work again? Or do you really get a chance to enjoy being over here?
No, we've kind of gotten better at the years of having days off and like, you know, we've had really good times in Manchester and we're going back to Glasgow this time, which is one of our favorite towns to play to, and we'll be in London for like a week. So we're playing three shows.
8th of April for Manchester, 11th, 12th and 13th in London, 15th in Birmingham, and then Glasgow on the 16th. Have you really enjoyed Glasgow properly, Lewin? You know, I'm a man from that part of the world. Have you managed to enjoy yourself like a Scot would?
Oh yeah, we always, I mean, our first show in Glasgow was so crazy. It was just like, we've always had, I think Barrowlands is like maybe my favorite venue on earth to play.
Amazing.
It's just a very, you know, we all, amazing crowds, and something about our music that just really has always resonated in Glasgow for us.
Right, Wynn, I'd love to chat to you a little bit more, but before that, I'm going to play a classic from your band, Arcade Fire. This is Keep the Car Running from 2007. Can you believe that? 11 years ago. This is brilliant. More from Wynn Butler in just a second.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So every Monday night we have a classic album chat and investigate an album we loved here at Radio X. Tonight we thought we would turn attention to The Cure for the very first time. We're going to go back 29 years to the 2nd of May to 1989 and Disintegration, a massive, massive album for The Cure. Iconic for the fans of The Cure, marked change in direction as they went back to their goth roots. Drummer and founding member Lowell was fired during the making of the album. And then it went to number 3 in the UK, and how about this, number 12 in America. At the time that was massive. The Cure's highest selling record to date. Tracks included this, how about these, Pictures of You, Lullaby, Fascination Street, Love Song, Plain Song and Homesick. There's a journalist called Stephen Elwin, and he called it the culmination of all the musical directions The Cure were pursuing over the course of the 80s. So when The Cure got going in the early 80s, they were kind of seen as a gloomy goth band, very slow tunes. I'll point you in the direction of a song called 10:15 Saturday Night, recorded in 1978, summarises everything about The Cure for me. Really, really slow, really, really moody, and all about him in the living room and the kitchen, wishing he was outside with everybody else. A bit dull and gloomy. But they had a bit of a change, went pop, and Robert Smith hated being called predictable, so the band started putting out songs with a more pop sound. So remember back to Love Cats, In Between Days, Close to Me, songs like that. They were successful, but Lol Tallhurst had a bit of a rough time, big alcohol problem. Robert Smith and his missus, they were having a bit of a rough time too, experimenting themselves, and they got very uncomfortable with fame. So by the time The Cure hit Disintegration, things were getting dark and moody again. So Robert Smith started writing music all on his own. He'd always written with the band before, and he got a bit concerned about turning 30, which seems mad now to think about that stage in his life. Desperate to write a masterpiece before he hit that landmark birthday. So the new tunes, he was prepared to release them as a solo record, which is mad to think about. But of course, he released them as this album. So the resulting album, slow, introspective collection of epic songs, showered in synths and glittering guitar lines. Now, ironically, the album proved so popular that it did everything Robert Smith didn't want, right? Despite his best efforts, he said, it actually became everything that he didn't want us to become, a stadium rock band. So Smith claimed the album's title was the most appropriate one because he could think of, because the relationships in the band started falling apart. He said, calling it Disintegration was kind of tempting fate, and fate retaliated. The family idea of the group really fell apart too after Disintegration. It was the end of a golden period. But it's a brilliant album. We don't want to end on a negative note. So 3 years later, of course, The Cure came back, released another album, had a bit of a rethink, and returned with The Beautiful Wish. What an album that was, but that is definitely for another time. So let's have two songs from that classic album, Disintegration. We're going back to 1989. How about these two songs? They are brilliant. Pictures of You and Lullaby.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
Two great songs back to back there from Disintegration. 29 years old, 2nd of May 1989, that came out, their 8th album. Just played you Lullaby, which was number 5 in the UK. It won British Video of the Year at the 1990 Brits.
Robert Smith dreaming with the rest of the band, playing with toy soldiers, before he's swallowed by a giant spider. I didn't make that up. Go and check it out on YouTube. It's been a hugely influential album. Editors have covered Lullaby. And remember, Editors are supporting The Cure at British Summertime in Hyde Park this summer. It's been sampled by acts as varied as the rapper Akela, Rachel Stevens. Adele's a fan as well. In 2006, Faithless remixed the song, featured it on their track Spiders, Crocodiles and Kryptonite. Have a little listen. So it works, doesn't it? Maxi Jazz. Robert Smith re-recorded some vocals for them as well. What a brilliant version it is. Superb. He's written some great stuff, Robert Smith. Before that, I played Pictures of You, the fourth and final single from the album. Inspired by a fire at Robert Smith's home, the next day, he's going through the remains and found some photos of his wife, Mary, in a wallet. The single cover is one of the photos. Lowell Tolhurst, he was credited as playing other instruments since he'd been too drunk to record proper drum and keyboard parts. That might have something to do with his departure from the band around that time. So that was Classic Album Chat tonight. Loved that from The Cure and Disintegration. More of that next week.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Wim Butler from the band is still on the phone. Your manager told me once that you had your own whiskey called Arcadian Fire. I don't know if that's true, but you once had a bit of trouble getting it back to Canada. So does it still live in Scotland? And if it does, can I have a bottle, please?
Yes, I'm trying to think who made that for us. Like, someone made that as like a tour gift. It was pretty good whiskey. We definitely smuggled some bottles back. We still have some in the basement of our HQ.
It's probably quite a dangerous business making a band their own whiskey, but it's good to know that you've survived it, Wynn. Now, just one more thing before you go, Wynn. I've heard that the next single will be Put Your Money On Me, and when we last spoke, you said that's the best thing Arcade Fire have ever done. Was that in the excitement of the new album coming out, or do you still genuinely stand by that? Because it's a huge claim. It's a great song.
Well, I just think it's a classic. It's one of the more, like, I hear it and I feel like we didn't write it, you know, which is some, like, I very rarely feel that way. I usually feel a lot more critical about our songs, and that's one where it kind of seems like it just came out of outer space or something.
That's a good sign of a song. Now, Wynn, thanks so much for joining us. We'll let you get back to the beautiful sunshine and heat of New Orleans. Leave us in our dark and cold surroundings of London right
now. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I wish I could tell you that the weather was terrible here, but it's not.
Well, we'll keep some back for you when you're over here in April, Wynn. Listen, all the very best. Thanks so much for coming on this evening, and appreciate your patience as well.
Yeah, all good. Have a good one.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart, and I'm still slightly stunned by something Rolling Stone sticksman Charlie Watts has said about David Bowie. I don't know if you caught this, but controversial probably doesn't begin to cover it. Charlie did a big interview with The Guardian, right? Big tour coming from the Rolling Stones, no filter, so they're all doing a bit of press to sell some tickets. Now, Charlie isn't a man to mince his words, and he said he was surprised by the massive outpouring of grief when David Bowie sadly passed away in 2016. These are his words, right? Charlie said, "I thought people would have been very sad, obviously, and he was a lovely guy and he wrote a couple of good songs. But for me, he wasn't this musical genius." Oof, that's not missing and hitting the wall, is it? Never want to mince his words, as I say, Charlie Watts. He was also talking about the No Filter tour coming up, as I said. And he added, "For me, I would like to be standing on Sunday the 8th of July at the end of the show in Warsaw. That's as far as I can see." But he did get drawn on the possible end of the Rolling Stones. He said, "I would hate it to dissolve, not amicably. I would like Mick to say, or me, or Keith, or whoever, I don't want to do it anymore, for whatever reason, and we just say that's it. I wouldn't want it to be an argument or whatever." Maybe not a good idea to start debating David Bowie backstage.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm about to explore the influences of the Killers. And I'm on my knees, looking for the answer. Are we human, or are we dancers? So Brandon McFlowers, Ronnie the Trouble Carvanucci and The Killers, they're definitely one of the biggest bands on the planet right now. A distinctive sound, and how many bands could you name who could sell out more than one night at Wembley Stadium? They're definitely in that category. You know all about their massive choruses and anthemic hooks, but you can't mistake that inescapable electronic sound either. We always tend to think about The Killers as a guitar band, even though they're covered in synths and keyboards. Just like another band I love.
That, of course, is New Order. Born out of the punk and gloom of Joy Division, New Order are another guitar band who never shy away from electronic sounds. A lot of tinkering with Bernard Sumner and Peter Hook in the studio early in the 80s. That repetitive synth music has been a huge influence on The Killers, and Brandon Flowers in particular. But that's not all. What about Bernard Sumner's vocal delivery? Definitely cut from the same cloth as Brandon McFlowers. That remind you of anyone? The Las Vegas Icons have never tried to cover up their love for New Order. They're always telling us about it when they pop into the studio. In fact, did you know this? The Killers took their name from a New Order song. In the video for Crystal, brilliant song, a fictional band mimed along to New Order. The name on the band's drum kit was The Killers. Of course it was. And the loving doesn't stop there. Brandon and Bernard, as he calls them, have become really firm friends, and they perform together. In fact, when Brandon and Ronnie came into the evening show last year, they told us this story of how the two front men met.
So our first time going to the NME Awards, it was a, you know, we were sort of starstruck. I'm in the bathroom, I'm at the urinal, and Bernard Sumner, who's one of my heroes, steps up next to me and starts singing "Somebody Told Me."
No.
In my ear.
No way.
And I hadn't thought about it until you guys just brought this up, but it was so surreal, you know? And
was it a good rendition?
It was decent, yeah. You can carry
it
too.
Like close, and
it was just like, I mean, sensual. I didn't know. That is so out of this world.
So there you go. In fact, when they came off air, Ronnie Vannucci started texting Bernard Sumner about a little Slash Gordon anecdote that we shared between us. Brandon Flowers, Bernard Sumner, New Order and The Killers, it was written in the stars.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was Californication by The Chili's, a song about the glossy side of Hollywood. So let's bring everyone crashing back to the British movie industry and the less glamorous movie hotbed of Yorkshire. So tonight is the world premiere of Walk Like a Panther. If you follow this show or listen to Smart on Sunday over the past 6 years or so, you will know that I've been following this story from day one. It's a story that is now 9 years old. There was a pilot featuring Tom Meehan from Kasabian and Serge way back, oh, about 5-6 years ago now, and they have a share in the film. Now, Serge has given some of the music to the movie, provides the soundtrack to the full Monty-style caper up in Yorkshire, and it's based on the novelty of 80s wrestling. So think Big Daddy, Giant Haystacks and Rollerball Rocco. If you're a bit too young for that, ask your dad. Trust me, he'll be able to tell you all about it. So Walk Like a Panther is released this Friday. Please get yourself along and check it out when it hits cinemas. Remember, this Friday night, the music on the soundtrack is right up your street. Kasabian and Arctic Monkeys, there's even a little bit of Rick Astley on there doing the theme tune. You'll see Stephen Graham in it. You might know him from Boardwalk Empire, maybe Snatch, Gangs in New York. You'll see Michael Socha from This Is England cast. Great cameo from Lena Headey in Game of Thrones in there too. Loads of great performances. It's a cracking bit of British film, right? Go and see the Panthers roar this Friday.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart, fully signed up member of the Stone Roses fan club. So here's some news for diehard Roses fans amongst you to get excited about. And it's all for a great cause too. So early demos from a band that were to become the Roses will be released this year. You'll know what I'm talking about if you're a Roses fan. The Waterfront, they were formed in late 1982 by future Roses members Andy Cousins, John Squire and Manny, alongside a chap called David Kaiser-Carty and Chris Goodman. So Cousins and Squire, they went on to form the Roses, with Ian Brown and Manny joining later, and they've got something very special to release for Record Store Day. So the website says, although the band never gigged, they did record two now legendary tracks in a small studio in Duckingfield. A handful of cassettes were distributed among friends and to local venues. These recordings have now been lovingly remastered from their original master tape, courtesy of Andy Cousins, for a special Record Store Day release to raise money for the Christie in Manchester, a brilliant hospital doing brilliant work with cancer patients. So this is fantastic. fantastic news, right? There are two tracks, one called Normandy and one When the Wind Blows, and they're going to be available from participating record shops on the 21st of April 2018. They are serious collector's items for any fans of the Roses. So Kaiser said, bit of a shock to be asked if I minded the songs being released after all this time. When I found out we didn't get anything from the money, or we didn't get anything from it, or the money goes to the Christie Cancer Charity, I was over the moon. What a fantastic cause. It was only right we said yes, go ahead. So all the proceeds, as I say, will be donated to the NHS Christie Foundation in Manchester, which is a brilliant, brilliant hospital. So great stuff that. Roses fans, very excited. The Waterfront music coming out. They are collector's items. Right, so here's some classic Roses for you. What a tune this is. Fool's Gold on the Evening Show.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
You know what, producer Vin, have you got an appropriate bit of music? Because I think it's time for story time. So we've just played you Arctic Monkeys there, Arabella. What a brilliant song. And I thought I'd try and dig back into the archive. A story about Arctic Monkeys that makes me smile every single time. We were in Benicassim, they had headlined the festival. Everyone was backstage having a drink. A bit of a glow in our cheeks with the sunshine and a few lagers. Found myself standing beside Jamie Cook backstage having a laugh before New Order went on to play overnight. Just after midnight they came on stage. But I was standing with Jamie Cook and we both turned into teenage fanboys because footballers do that to young men. And we were totally blown away by the arrival of Spanish football legend Gaica Mendieta. Now, if you don't know football, that will mean nothing to you, but he played for Valencia, he was brilliant, played for Spain, won a World Cup, I believe, and then came over to the UK and played with Middlesbrough, which doesn't make it sound quite as glamorous. What a brilliant footballer he was, though. Me and Jamie Cook just stood there speaking to Gaica Mendieta, and he was starstruck by Jamie Cook. It was a classy moment, special moment. Gaica Mendieta and Arctic Monkeys turning into fanboys. That's story time for tonight.
Radio.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thank you very much for listening to the Evening Show podcast. I'm Gordon Smart. If you'd be so kind and leave a review, I will be eternally grateful. We will be back with another edition of the Evening Show podcast next week.
Radio X.